Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Hello, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming to my channel. This is talking about the Cabinet Secretary in the United Kingdom. Now, the Cabinet Secretary, he, so far as only ever been a he, is the highest civil servant. And he is the only non-politician to sit at the Cabinet table right beside the Prime Minister. So that assures some sort of continuity of government. If the Conservatives are out and Labour government comes in, there's one person who was in the previous government, not as a political appointee, as the head of the civil service. And he, or could let's say she, because it might well be a she from now on, can bring them back to reality. The others are all members of the same political party, usually might be refracting things through an ideological prism, might be too partisan to be the voice of reason, to have some wisdom and experience, and also to tell about practicalities. Whatever policy, is it feasible, explain the non-feasance of whatever policy, and to give them a time scale in which things are achievable and to cost it or whatever, and not just wishful thinking on the basis of political prejudice. So that's him or her. I'm not sure if he or she takes the minutes. A minute is taken, which is not writing down every word. Occasionally, cabinet meetings are filmed in the cabinet room at number 10 Downing Street once or twice a week, as the Prime Minister may determine. He can tell them to meet him at Chequers, if he wishes, his countryside retreat in Buckinghamshire, donated by Viscount Leo Fareham in his bequest in 1922, or elsewhere. Whichever day of the week he determines, could even be on a weekend, could be for half an hour, 5 hours. The Prime Minister is the one who chairs it. He or she says when it begins, when it ends, what the agenda is, who gets to speak and stuff like that. Who's in the cabinet can hire and fire. So Sir Chris Warmold, and traditionally the cabinet secretary is knighted. He has fallen out with Sir Keir Starmer. I mean, this happened under the previous Conservative government when they got rid of their cabinet secretary, because, I mean, strictly speaking, the Prime Minister doesn't have the legal power to get rid of the cabinet secretary and pressure him to resign. Now, Warmold could have stood up for those. He's chosen not to. Boris Johnson lost one as well. But it's symptomatic of the dysfunctionality of this current Labour administration. When Starmer lost was his press secretary, his chief of staff in 1 week, and looks like his national security advisor. Poll. Is it Charles Poll or Jonathan Poll? I always get the mix up. The youngest of the four brothers is the current one. The eldest one did a similar role for Maggie Thatcher in the 80s. This kind of guy served in the Blair administration in the late 90s, was the one saying, no, given to terrorism all the time. Indeed, invited two of the worst British criminals of all time, Gerard Adams and Martin McGuinness, to his wedding. All right. So Downing Street released a communique to say that Sir Chris Warmold's departure is by mutual agreement. Okay. So some people say this is really wrecking morale in Whitehall. So who's going to be the next cabinet secretary? We don't know, but it's widely rumoured it's going to be Dame Antonia Romeo. So the Labour government has been accused of being a boys' club. They're desperate to prove their feminist credentials. I mean, almost the half the cabinet are women and so on. The Epstein scandal is not a good look for a party which tends to want to protect women. So no female has ever been cabinet secretary. So it seems that Dame Romeo may get this partly on the basis of what she's got between her legs. Now, not to say that... was that a factor in men getting appointed? I mean, maybe it was. I don't know. I mean, a century ago, it definitely was. So the senior civil service wasn't even open to women long ago. But there's been a revolving door. They've been going in and out very quickly, cabinet secretaries. They used to serve quite a few years. I remember Sir Robin Butler, he said something like 10 years. And the first one, well, an early one, Bridges, said something like 15 years. Sir Maurice Hankey was there for a long time. Sir Burke Trend or whatever. I had the privilege to know one of them, Lord Butler of Brockwell, Sir Robin Butler, as he was back then, from 1987 to 1997. He saw Blair in for the first 6 months and then retired, handing over to Richard Wilson, I think it was, the man with the terrible teeth. So Dame Antonia Romeo comes from, I suppose, a typical background. Some independent school was at North London Collegiate School, an elite girls' school. And then she went to Oxford. She read PPE, Philosophy, Politics, Economics, which loads of Labour politicians have read. She thinks she was in banking briefly before joining the civil service. So she's 51. She's married. She's got children. Romeo's her married name, married to someone of Italian extraction. She was permanent secretary of the Home Office. Well, that's what she is. She was indeed consul general in New York City. I'm not sure it's the same time as Prince Andrew was going there, and she's to blame for that. She's worked in the Department for International Trade, Ministry for Justice, and blah, blah, blah. They tend to move them around from one department to another. So that's it. But some people said that she's deeply unsuitable, that she's bullied staff. Now, there was a formal grievance process against her when she was in New York, 2017. I suppose that was after Prince Andrew was no longer, you know, going there for Epstein. That was sort of ended about 2010. People say that she is abrasive. She rubs people up the wrong way. She's too brusque. She's lacking in emotional intelligence and so on. All right. So she was exonerated and so on. But other senior civil servants, Lord Simon McDonald, said, come on, we have to have transparency here. Maybe she's not the right one, because if this appointment goes wrong for Starmer, it shows just how foolish he is. So some people say these are bogus accusations against her. All right. And is it politicizing it? Is it bringing her in just for feminist reasons? Is she the best person for the job? I don't know. I mean, nobody gets that seen in civil service without a few things in their favor, like efficiency, being conscientious, work ethic or whatever, probity in general. On the other hand, you tend to be a sycophant, a conformist, utterly invertebrate, you know, helping out your political masters, lying for them, getting them off the hook and stuff like that. Would she be just part of the establishment blob, the liberal leftist Ramona, whatever? I don't know what her opinions is. Maybe I have her wrong. You can be a liberal leftist and a Ramona and so on, still a decent person and still do your duties in an even-handed manner. But we obviously, there's a very high majority of them are like that. And some of them definitely don't do an even-handed manner. But I mean, I know various people in the civil service, the cabinet office, the Ministry of Defense, in the Ministry of Justice, people in various Downing Street units and so on. And there is bad stuff about her, but libel proof. I mean, not my channel. Who watches my channel? Come on. That therefore, I can't say for reasons, you know, don't want a defamation suit. So will she be appointed? I think it's highly probable that she will. If Starmer backed out now, at least seem like yet another vault fuss, show how spineless he is. And then he's got to win a few plaudits. He's playing to the feminist gallery and see how well she goes. Maybe she'll pleasantly surprise us. You can't let the grass grow on your feet. You've got to make an appointment pretty soon. All right. So is she ever going to reform the civil service? Is she going to slim it down? The Foreign and Commonwealth Office, or sorry, the Office for Foreign, Commonwealth and International Development Affairs, what a mouthful, they've got to shed 2,000 staff. And obviously, you know, they're not happy campers. And the civil service ballooned under the Conservatives, which is precisely the opposite of the Tory small state ideology. That was a massive screw up. Is Labour ever going to shrink it? Well, and this is their payroll vote. So you think turkeys don't vote for Christmas. Maybe even Labour's not quite that stupid, even though it's urgently needed, even though, you know, those of us in the private sector who really are productive, we're paying for this. We're shouldering their massive gold-plated pensions, which we don't get. But okay, the more fool me, I should be in the public sector. It would make you virtually unsackable. You can call in ill. Someone I knew very, very senior in the civil service told me she could be off ill for a year on full salary without any question. Are you going to come back now or are you going to leave? All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.